You know what's kind of, it's interesting and kind of depressing at the same time is the Google Photos. You use Google Photos, don't you?
Yes.
And then they send you these, what you were doing 10 years ago today or 9 years ago yes. today. And I look at that and go, oh, wow, was it that long ago?
Yeah. Man, I looked so much better back then. We wow. have the Google displays throughout the house as well. And we actually just recently switched over from, I had like a mixture of like Alexa speakers and like some other things. And now we're all Google as far as the smart home is concerned. And the good thing about having the Pixel is we'll be outside taking like, you know, whatever, playing on the swings or something like that, and I'll take a picture. And then when we come in, like literally like 5 minutes later, it'll be displayed on the screen. And you're getting, George Carlin did a really funny bit about when back in the day when they made 1 hour photo processing, and he made the point about like taking the film. He's like, now they have, you know, you can get your pictures back in 1 hour. And he goes, you were just there, you dumb motherfucker. Like, you were just there. Do you need to see a picture of somewhere that you were an hour ago?
And here we are, like, funny. A minute later, or like a and second now, later. You know, we have.
And now I want it literally streaming live
right.
in the house as I'm swinging.
Oh my God,
my
that's
daughter.
So true. I don't know how to deal with the mountains of photos. I think that's a problem everybody has. And I organize them to some extent in photo albums, folders on Google, but it's a mountain of photos.
And it's a closet. It's like
good way to
clogs up
it.
Every closet.
It's like
and
throwing
all
things in it. And, yeah.
And that's it. And I found it's like pictures actually aren't as important now because I have so many of them. And I also find that like because I take so many pictures, I don't even like go scrolling back past a week in my photo stream. And I think you're kind of supposed to. I think you're kind of supposed to like look through pictures and be like whatever, but I'll have like 35 of the same thing, and I don't go through and delete them and prune them. So I just keep taking pictures and then pushing them, you know, into the closet, as it were. So as you said, the one good thing about the Google thing is like every so often it reminds me of a picture that I did take that was good that I haven't even looked at, because I don't actively look at pictures anymore. It kind of seems like once it's there, it's like, all right, let's move on.
Do you ever print photos?
I do. I bought one of those. Canon came out with a little small printer called a Selfie. And at first I was like, this is what a silly thing. Like, you can just get a full size printer and then it also prints out. But it uses a different kind of cartridge. It uses like a film or something like that, like a 3-color film. And it does it as fast as like a Polaroid picture. And it's designed to take pictures from your phone. And then you can just going through your photo stream and then just select print. Select the Canon Selfie and it prints out a little small 4x6 or something like that. So it's specifically designed to be just a small picture printer. And at first I'm like, that's dumb. But further to the conversation we're having, where it's like everything that was on my phone just lived on my phone or in the cloud, and I never really enjoyed it. And I still really enjoy a physical picture. Like in my office, I have a little cork board and I have all these just fun pictures of the past little while. And I don't do that when I take pictures just on my phone, because like I've just been talking about, I don't go through and scroll through unless I'm actually specifically looking for something.
There's kind of a resurgence in Polaroids also. And I know, and I don't know if they still have them, but a few years ago, there were these small Polaroid cameras that would spit out an individual, sort of digital, but it was a single print you would get right from the camera. And it was like a 2x3 picture. It was really small. I remember seeing it at VidCon a while back. And then I saw people using it. I just thought that it was kind of cool. I like the idea of like, this is a single thing. This is all it is. It's never going, it can't be shared unless you take a picture of that picture. And so it only exists as it is. So somehow it's a more special thing. And I remember them promoting it as like, hey, you can be at a party and you can take pictures and make a collage or some, I don't know, something dumb like that. but I don't know. There's something nice about that, I guess.
Should we do an introduction? Should we? I mean, we can just kind of piece whatever is together, but yeah, I don't even know what to say.
Hey, welcome back to Chad and Steve Have a Podcast. It's been a while since we've sat down here and recorded a podcast, and I'd like to say it's all on me, but I think we both kind of shared similar feelings of like, and it's hard to even describe. How would you describe the past? How long has it been since we did a podcast? Like 2 months?
Maybe 6 weeks or so, but long enough. And it's funny that you say that you feel like it was all on you. I feel like it was all on me because it felt like maybe we both kind of stopped pushing and like encouraging it because maybe we were both in the exact same place. But I felt like I was letting everybody down.
And we would hear from people occasionally saying, we like your podcast. And I thought, oh, well, we haven't done anything in a long time.
Thank you for listening. Sorry we haven't given you anything to listen to.
Yeah. I don't know why I feel this sense of guilt when it comes to online content and about not providing it. You know, it's like it's my duty.
This also coincides with you not posting something on your YouTube channel for in and around the same amount of time, no?
Yeah, I guess this speaks to a bigger picture topic. It is just this, and I posted a video on it sort of in response to Tiffany Ferguson's video about, is there this general sense in the air that this malaise is what I was calling it about YouTube, that there's so many people seem to be feeling this just kind of overall, I'm just tired of it all. And at first I was thinking, well, this is just me. I'm just like feeling burned out or whatever. But then I started hearing more and more people. And then when Tiffany posted that video, I thought, wow, this is true. This is actually a thing that seems to be happening. Or maybe it's just I'm self-selecting, you know, what I see. I don't know.
Do you think it coincidentally is coming at the same time that there's this huge push for shorts and traditional content creators are feeling really burnt out because it feels... And perhaps I'm doing a lot of projection right now, do you think it's kind of coincided with that, with YouTube still on this relentless push to seemingly push short form content, which really just goes against a lot of the stuff that we've been comfortable with producing for the longest period of time? You went into shorts, and as much as you went into shorts, it kind of started calling into question what you were doing with your long form content or what you do outside of shorts, because you ended up getting good success with shorts. So it's like, great, now I can kind of do this and I know I can kind of whatever. And now you find yourself torn creatively with what actually to do next. And I guess that's maybe like a probing question for you, Steve. Is that it? Is it confusion as to like what they want or what you want?
I think that's a good way of describing it. I think there's this sense of reaction. Like, I feel like I'm reacting to YouTube changes. You should to a certain extent. But I also feel like YouTube has just become this reactionary platform. They're just reacting to other social media and other online forces. And it feels like, to me, I used to be really excited about YouTube. It's like, this is like the cutting edge. This is where the cool kids are, is on YouTube, and everything's happening here. And then it doesn't feel that way anymore because, and you and I have talked about this before, that YouTube feels like an aging platform. It's in some ways, it's starting to feel like Facebook is. It's like for, you know, grandmothers or your mom, but it's starting to feel like YouTube is reacting rather than innovating, rather than coming up with a new thing. They're like, oh crap, Instagram and TikTok are doing shorts. We got to do a short and we got to put all of our effort into this. And so I feel like then they're reacting and then I'm reacting to that rather than just focusing on what made my channel and what I enjoyed doing the most. But that's only a part of it, because I do feel like there's something else weird that's just, I think part of it might just be burnout. I'm just kind of like just tired of it and I needed this break, and I'll get back to it. And there's the ups and downs in YouTube, you know.
You've never allowed yourself a break like this for this period of time before, right? In the years that you've been doing this?
I've never taken a break. I think I haven't posted a video in over 6 weeks, and those were shorts, because and those were actually fun because I was doing short little projects just because I thought, I just want to build stuff, mm-hmm. which is really fun to do, but I don't want all of the baggage that comes along with making a full video and doing, especially since these were kind of like prototype things that I'm trying to build for another course that I'm thinking about doing. And so I thought, well, I'll just build these and shoot shorts. But so the last actual full length video I made was over 2 months ago.
Do you care as much as you did early on? Because I know that was something that you were probably, you thought a lot about during the couple of weeks following your latest upload. But now that it's been so many weeks, has that kind of like laid off a little bit? Have you found yourself relaxing about thinking about it as much?
No, it's
like, you still do.
And now it's like becoming more and more on my head. Like, okay, I have got to get back into this. And I don't know, it's unreasonable for it to expect anybody who does something for 14 years to not need a break or not to have to, or just get tired of it, I suppose. And I think even Tiffany, one of the things she mentioned in her video that I found really interesting is that like things that we enjoy watching on TV, we expect breaks, seasons. And so you'll watch a full season. And as viewers, it's kind of nice to know that there is a season finale and then we can get excited and wait for the next. With YouTube, it's just endless, churning out video after video. It seems to be there's no completion.
And there's no shape to what you're creating. Like with a television show, they're like, this is the season, this is the storyline for the season, and this is what we're hoping to accomplish in these 10 episodes. And here's the things that are going to happen. And I think back to our interview with Craig Wheezy Waiter, who at the time had come from, I mean, for many, many years, just producing, you know, whatever video
daily
filled
content.
Him. Exactly. Daily content. And then just also just doing regular content and putting stuff out that kind of like tested the waters and kind of like a diverse range of content to try to attract an audience. And when we had him on, him talking about like this was the first year that he kind of knew what he was going to do for the next 365 days. He knew the videos he wanted to create, and he went through and he's turned his focus to like understanding that and just concentrating on that, and has given him a break from that whole what's next. Because that seems to be the biggest thing that catches up YouTubers right now. There's videos which are trending. There's even channel gurus or like YouTube gurus who have channels about all of this stuff, talking about burnout now and burnout affecting the actual gurus themselves. And now they're sharing the information of like, hey, guess what? Like, you know, this endless hustle culture is actually really damaging. You know, it really gets you creatively into a place. And I think there's mental health. And then from a creative or a creator standpoint, I think there's creative health, like the health of your imagination or your creativity or your ability to actually produce ideas. And we were talking about this, the difference between like the thought process of like, I'm just over here producing videos versus I create ideas. And from those ideas, the end product is a video, and that's what goes out. And that's one of the things that I think kind of starts to play against people, because they think their worth is just the video that they're putting out and the likes and the views that it gets, as opposed to this feels like it's what I want. This is a good representation of the type of stuff I put on my channel. This is a good representation of the type of stuff that I like to kind of like put out there. And when that's not being filled, when that bucket's not being filled, it's hard. Cause then you do just turn to analytics, and then you're looking for video ideas based upon things that get views and not like ideas coming out of organic places.
You have to, as a creator, you have to produce the stuff, because YouTube will ding you if you don't. And YouTube, the irony is that YouTube, time and time again, they publish on their things, you know, that we recommend all creators take time off for yourself, take mental health breaks. But on the other hand, if you do, YouTube will not recommend your videos or promote you in any way at all. If you stop for a few weeks, you're going to just start tanking, unless you're one of those few exceptions that can, you know, produce a video once a month because it's just so epic, you know.
But and how many people have that JonTron ability to like leave the channel for 6 months and then come back and start producing content and still have an audience success, especially with, like you said, all of the other competition and so many other channels doing kind of the same thing. However, is this a longer term growing pain for YouTube? Is this where YouTube falls out of its position as the cool kid in town, but cements itself in its position of like, this is truly where video footage is shared. This is still truly where you go to watch music videos. It's where you go to watch movie trailers, news clips, and all of that. And right now it seems to be the push towards shorter content is confusing. I found that there's a bunch of creators that are so driven to try to make the short form content because that's being driven so much. It's getting away from like the core of kind of what got them an audience in the first place.
Yeah.
And it really does seem to be chasing views for the sake of trying to build a new audience. And Shorts actually even says that, right? Like, don't they're like, oh, it's a great discovery. It's great to whatever. But we've really found the challenge of having 30 to 60 second long videos represent what we do and attract the type of people that we want to attract. It's almost like you're in the dollar store trying to like tell people about the amazing boutique store that you have down the street. But it's like these people are in the dollar store because they just want to spend a dollar and get something and like move on. And you're here trying to be like, no, what is, and it just seems like right now YouTube's like, hey, everybody, have you opened up a dollar store yet? And meanwhile, we're all like, no, like the whole reason we're in the place what we are is because we made these cool 10 minute long videos about doing this or doing this kind of thing and doing this kind of thing. And now I'm getting away from that because it feels like I need to be doing something else to still stake my claim or to still like make my, and it's just incredibly confusing. And layer that on top with a bunch of creators who sometimes don't even fully understand why people are watching them in the first place. And that's what I've been thinking a lot about recently, where it's like, people with large audiences already not fully understanding exactly what, like the lightning that they have in the bottle, as it were, and then trying to figure out how to like grow from it or diversify, or do I double down on what I'm doing or do I stay in the same? And now it's like, to get traction on YouTube or to be able to get the general public's attention, you have to do the things that are being kind of like promoted or pushed on you. And I think a lot of YouTube creators are they're not happy with that. And I think they're either pushing against that or just like really lost with how to like, how am I supposed to find that space again? It was tough enough to find people just to watch the content that I did in the first place. And now you're telling me I need to figure out how to like change everything about my content to like match this new format that I need to kind of do. And then you have all of these creators still doing their traditional content and it's just not getting the traction it used to. And they're like, do I need to change? Now I can't make enough money off of the things that I am doing because I'm apparently supposed to be doing something different. It almost seems like this vicious cycle.
Maybe YouTube is learning from TikTok. The lesson from TikTok is that people are willing to put in a lot of time and effort in exchange for followers rather than dollars. And I think that you can see that because YouTube's like, wait a second, we have all these people willing to make shorts and really we don't have to pay them for it. And they could make long form videos and we have to share AdSense with it. Wait, we had the whole business model wrong here. And of course that's not the whole story, but I got an interesting email from our friend Matthias Wandel a couple weeks ago. So he's always on the cutting edge, you know? And so he said he posted a short, but you know how he does it. He does them square format just to be
Matthias about it, yes.
Yeah, and so, but he posted a short, but he said it was accidentally like 61 seconds or something. So it didn't qualify as a short, it just is a regular video. So as a result, it got monetized. And he made like several hundred bucks off of this one video, when if he had just done it as a short, he wouldn't have gotten, you know, a fraction of that, because you get that shorts fund. If you're lucky, you get a few, you know, dollars here and there. So the thought is like, well, you can always make short videos. Why do you necessarily need to make hashtag shorts? Just make a minute long video and post it in a regular format. And you probably won't get as many views on it, but you'll make more money.
But you'll actually make money.
You'll actually make
more money. Yes.
It kind of hit me. I thought, yeah, really. I mean, if people, it's just the length of it. I know that the idea is for people to just go scrolling video after video with the shorts feed, which is totally different. But what is the benefit of that other than getting more followers? But then we're talking TikTok, where those are just, it's meaningless.
And like, I think that's the, like, that's the Achilles heel of TikTok, isn't it? Like the fact that it's a Chinese company, first of all. Yeah. So there's all of the privacy concerns, which are a huge issue right now. People not worrying. And that's, I mean, it also speaks to the dollar store kind of appeal that TikTok has, where it's like, it's so easy to ramp up a bunch of views and a bunch of followers, as you kind of found out, right?
It's bullshit. I think they make it really appealing. Bullshit. I don't know. Everybody I talked to said, yeah, it's really easy to get up to like 50,000 followers and then it just stops. So it just makes you wonder, is this fake? Is this bots or what's going on there?
So here's the thing I've been thinking about a lot. And I alluded to it at the beginning of the last verbal rant that I did. Is right now just a growing, it's been however many years, 15 years or 20 years or something like that now. Is this a different type of growing where it's like there's something new in town, we have to allow this to come and go, and at the end of the day, people still need to come back to YouTube for what they know they're coming to YouTube for? And I find that that's much easier to define on YouTube because, like I said, actually the majority of the views on YouTube come from music videos. Justin Bieber and Rihanna and da-da-da and all these people who have endless amounts of subscribers and whatnot. And then obviously all of the movie companies release their trailers and da 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 da. And then you just have like large YouTube creators, Mr. Beast and PewDiePie and all of these people who we definitely know and what they do. And I think right now it's just not cool. I think in 2015 it was cool because like that's what was cool and there was new video stars and we could be our own people. And now there's this new thing. I was thinking it was going to either replace it or kind of like whatever. And I think it's just kind of, it's just coming by and it's just being popular and making a lot of noise. And I'm seeing the other side of it now, because at no point have I been really drawn to it by being like, at first I didn't like TikTok because I thought it was annoying. But now that I've watched a few creators and I follow some people, I find that it's really whatever. The most noteworthy TikTok person that I can think of in my limited experience is the black gentleman who does the funny faces reacting to people doing hacks or whatever it is. And then he'll do like, oh, hey, why don't you just try opening the can the way that humanity has? And then he has this very, meme-ish kind of like look to his face. And he has a very fun brow and all of the rest. So like, but that's it. That's his thing. That's what he has. The biggest guy on the platform just looks at things and then gives people a face. And there's lots of good looking girls on who literally just, I mean, the whole platform started
just show
by
their ass. Yeah.
And to do a dance, right? And we've all been to a McDonald's probably and seen some 14-year-old girls set up a camera on the table and do whatever their dance is. And you know what's going on. And that's what I associate with TikTok. But all this time, you've been associating so many other things with YouTube. And I get that's just not cool right now. I get that the kids aren't playing with it right now. But sooner or later, those kids are going to come around, because when their tire goes flat or when they need to, find a new lawnmower or whatever, like they actually start needing to get like value out of the content, you're going to just go back to YouTube. You're not going to turn to TikTok for any of this stuff. So I think it just more so cements what YouTube's place is. And I think it's just, it sucks because now all the cool YouTube kids are like, oh man, now this other cool kid's here. Now everybody else is playing with this other cool kid.
A lot of it, I think, has to do with that YouTube, at least when we started, we were kind of creating our own history because it was so new. And that's what's happening on TikTok right now, that they're brand new. But you think of a lot of the kids on YouTube or who are watching YouTube now were not alive when Michael Buckley was posting What the Buck or Wheezy Waiter was starting. And so to them, and I was thinking it would be like, I remember as a kid watching like old episodes of I Dream of Jeannie or something. And I thought, wow, that was so old. That was like black and white. And it was the older generation content. And I'm interested in newer, different things. And so the platform didn't really change, but it was just, I didn't feel like a part of that older thing. And I think that's the newer people really don't have a lot of that context of early YouTube. And there's no, it's normal, but I think that eventually TikTok, if it's around for 20 years like YouTube, they people won't really have that kind of context to it, because the people who are born right now won't know these TikTokers.
All of this thought process has led me to just go back to doing what
you're doubling down.
Doubling down on just like the stuff that's worked, the stuff that has consistently worked. Sometimes it's just listicle stuff, or just like a basic how to clean a toilet or going back to like six ways to, you know, save time cleaning, or just like that.
To do stuff that you've done before is even more important now, because I don't think YouTube is really wanting people to watch these older videos. So I think if you have 20 videos on how to clean a toilet, there's nothing wrong with that, because the most recent one is what people want to see.
Exactly. And that's the stuff, like, we have very evergreen content, which our archive content does incredibly well for us, but have been noticing that when we reintroduce a subject like that and whatever, they have no problem prioritizing the more recent video. And I think it's important that through this time that a lot of creators are changing gears and switching, you know, like trying to figure out how to, like, oh, how do I, you know, show up in the short space, or how do I whatever. And I get that it's important to try new things, but right now I feel, at least, it's a time for doubling down. And I think you're kind of in that same position where it's like, if you're going to come back with a video, you're going to come back with a video that feels like a good old fashioned woodworking for mere mortals YouTube video. Yeah.
To a certain extent, I don't think I'll ever go back to making a lot of project videos. I just think that ship has sailed on YouTube. Because I don't have the interest in making the types of projects that people are interested in watching. And for me to put a lot of effort into building something I really enjoy building and something good, it doesn't make any sense. So that's why, to me, it makes more sense to put that off platform on someplace that's a paid platform for somebody to watch it who really wants to watch it. Otherwise, the amount of views I get on those videos is just ridiculous. You know, where I can stand and talk about woodworking, which isn't bad. I don't mind doing that. I like writing scripts of things, and it's a lot easier than making projects. But I do find making projects is a lot of fun. And that's why I think putting it on those shorts, those shorts didn't do very well. They didn't get a lot of views or anything, but it was fine, because it was like, well, I'm getting a little bit of content out of it, but I don't have to really put any effort into shooting a full-blown thing. I made two different versions of this, like, step stool thing with a handle on it. And that was a project based on a project I did probably 10 years ago on my channel. So it was nothing new. It's just I modified it to do a couple different techniques on it. Nobody knows any of that old stuff. Very few people, you know, had seen it. There's no way anybody's watching, you know, how many hundreds and hundreds of videos I have on my channel over 14 years.
We like to think so, don't we? We like to think that do. People are like, man, has anybody messaged you about, like, hey, you haven't uploaded in 5 weeks?
No, see, this is the sad thing. No, I haven't.
No, and
I
used everybody to. Forgot about you.
No, that's just it. That's what I think. It's like, nobody cares. And I used to think, I used to get those messages if I took a couple weeks off. Hey, where you been? And I know if I post a video, when I post the video, I'll get those messages. Hey, it's great to see you back. I was wondering what happened to you. But I get those on just, even if I don't take a break sometimes, too. You know, every single week. And somebody will say, hey, where you been? I don't know, right here.
During that, I think it was like the middle of 2020 when we were forced to just, like, we couldn't get together to shoot, and we were fully out of ideas, and the pandemic was still, like, super fresh. So we're like, we just can't. So we released a couple of videos, and then there was, I don't know, it was like a 6 week period where we didn't upload anything. And I remember just, like, scouring the content, the comments, wondering if people were going to be like, where is everything okay with Clean My Space? What happened? No, no one cared. And then we actually posted a follow-up or whatever, the first video after about 6 weeks or so. And the video, Melissa's like, oh, it's been 6 weeks. We're so sorry. We normally post weekly. And the top comment was like, you guys post weekly? Question mark.
What?
It's like, yeah, oh, yeah, I guess you guys don't really pay attention to the channel as closely as we do. It just pops up in people's feeds every so often.
I think we put a lot of stock in the word community. Everybody uses that and they throw it around a lot. And everybody thinks their channel has this community. But I guess it's a different definition of community. It's not exactly like everybody gathering at the town square to sing Christmas carols. You know?
If I were to do a meetup, it would be at a town square.
with the church in the center, with the steeple. And it's my Courier and I's vision of community.
But that's just it, though, right? Is your channel this collection of people? Or is your channel people who all kind of saw something that they liked in your content? And I think there's like this weird misnomer of like what people think these people are, what you owe them or they owe you or in this relationship. And maybe that's like in the word subscriber, or maybe that's just because like it's such an important part of like the YouTube culture and community is like really making people feel like that. But at the end of the day, I'm torn between, as a creative person, it's supposed to just be the place which is an outlet for what I think is right, and you attract the people who like that, versus this like giving what the people want, even if it feels like it's holding you back, which was one of the things, not holding you back, but like not as interesting as it once was. You tend to have a large part of your audience be like, I miss the old Steve, or I miss those videos. And as much as, you know, you say they don't work, Steve, you should just upload them and you should just do them because that's what I want out of your channel. And it's like, well, am I making videos for this person now? Like, is this what I should be like moving forward to, taking into consideration what this person wants? Because this is the type of person that I attracted originally. And that eats away at creators because, how are you supposed to know what to do next?
Yeah, I don't think, and that's why I'm kind of, I understand the concept of a community, but I think about like channels that I really enjoy, channels that I watch almost every video, like Ryan George, he does comedy videos and I love his videos. I never miss one, but I don't consider myself part of a community. It's like, I just like watching those videos. So I don't think you can make decisions on a channel kind of based on what you think is a community, because they're just viewers mostly.
And some of the biggest communities are that from people who didn't even, like, I think of like Filthy Frank or even iDubbbz or whatever, massive millions of fans, but they don't refer to, like, iDubbbz often like kind of scoffs at the whole kind of, you know, acknowledging your audience as this group of people, like the iDubbbz heads or whatever, like yeah. And I get it with PewDiePie, it certainly works, and it was best practice early in the day to be like, have a, you know, have a thing, call your audience name. A name, and mm-hmm. yeah, and I get it, it certainly works, but it really is challenging because it starts to interfere with the, you said it earlier on in this particular episode, where it's like you started because it was just a place, it was like a big open sandbox just to do some fun stuff, and you ended up early on attracting people who were just like, I like what you're doing over here, I'm gonna watch for as long as I enjoy what you're doing over here. But now there's also this kind of weird there's this weird new element of people who are like, well, now I'm part of the community, so you shouldn't let me down. Steve, you shouldn't grow in that way. I don't like the new Steve.
Yeah, it's true. I don't know if there's any real answers to this other than, you know, there's a big part of me who feels lucky that I have a large library of YouTube content, and taking 6 weeks off has not been detrimental. I still have income streams coming in. It was certainly the lowest AdSense payout I've gotten in years was in June, you know, just because I didn't post a single video. So I think that if you want to post, if you have a lot of videos and you think, wow, I could just retire because I'll just keep getting this constant stream of income, it will dwindle really fast because it's older content, and is, unless you have new content supplementing it, YouTube just, you're like, you're dead to me. get out of here, get off this platform.
It's a really good point. I think they have no problem amplifying archived content from creators who are still active. I think you really do run into that space where it's like, even if you have like crazy good videos in your archive, but they just see that it's, you know, a channel sitting there and not updating or doing anything new.
Showed you that email I got from YouTube about our channel, the Chad and Steve YouTube channel, we haven't posted to. They sent me a warning, like, you got to post something. If you don't post something every, at least one video every 6 months, we demonetize your channel.
Steve. We, in the last episode, we shared our net worth. So how are we supposed to keep those net worths without the lucrative money train that is the Chad and Steve Have a Podcast YouTube channel?
I don't even know. I guess I kind of feel bad about this, but I think that's tied to my AdSense. So I probably should be giving you a cut of that $2. I don't even know what we make off of that channel, if anything. I don't know.
I'm going to dip through the analytics. And actually, the next episode.
You should probably go in there. Send me an invoice.
I will. You'll be getting an email from me later.
Wow. I feel like I have all these channels strewn about YouTube. I have a YouTube channel that I did with Wyatt in 2008 and 2009, and it's still up there. It's weird.
Oh, really? What were you doing with Wyatt?
Well, it was actually, I thought it was a really cool concept. It was 60-second histories. So what we did is it was because I was homeschooling him. So we were just learning about various kings and I don't know, Mayan culture or whatever. And so we would find a subject and he would find something he was interested in. And then we would sit down together and figure out, how can we make a video out of this in 60 seconds? And that was we were making shorts before shorts were a thing.
I was just about to say that.
But we had like a strict, because the name of the channel was 60 second videos, and we had to make sure that they would be under 60 seconds. And so it was really fun. And he acted in all, that was the thing, because he was really into musical theater and acting and all of this stuff, you know, his whole life. And so he would perform these things and act out the characters.
Oh, that's
awesome. I shot it on that same little Sony CyberShot camera. But yeah, those are still on there. And there's still like 200 subscribers or something on that channel. It's crazy.
Still getting views. Still sharing some
posted,
good information.
Hasn't been posted to in 14, 13 years.
You were way ahead of the curve with the shorts.
Yeah,
we were way ahead of the curve with the shorts. Back in 2014, we started a series which was very short-lived, but it was called A Minute to Clean. And they were literally a minute-long videos, and the whole thought was to put a whole cleaning tip in a minute. But at the time, this was during the time that everybody wanted 10-minute long videos, because that's how you got the extra ad placements. And that's what YouTube wanted at the time. They just wanted watch time. Just make them watch stuff, even if you have, you know, speak very slowly. So your videos end up being 10 minutes long. But no one was ready for minute-long videos back then, Steve.
No,
but now they are.
People would bitch about it, too. If I posted a really short video, they would feel like, this is a waste of my time. I'm not going to sit through an ad to watch this. And yeah. And, you know, that's the thing that puzzles me about YouTube, too, is that they have the real push for shorts, but long-form content is doing really well. Anything
really
over
well.
A half hour long. And I can't, I can't always, I rarely can I sit through a video longer than a half hour. I don't know why. I can sit through a TV show, it's a half hour, but a video, it's harder. I'm getting better at it, I guess. It has to be good content.
There's a lot of really good content, long form content out there now too. As I think we were talking to Art about this, and Gamer from Mars, and a few other people, where they're doubling down on either long content, or I believe he was talking about super long content, like literally movie, like 2 or 3 hour long videos. And I know there's a whole space on YouTube about like really long form content, like deep dives into whatever it is, and the longer the better. And these people putting, you know, months of work into one video as opposed to jamming out short YouTube.
You know that channel Knowing Better?
Yes.
You watched his video? So he just posted one, was an hour and a half long. And I used to watch his videos. I say that, you know, like I don't want to watch his videos anymore, but I used to watch them a lot because they were short enough. They were really interesting videos. But I got to admit, when I see an hour and a half long video, I just have to make a decision. I'm like, oh man, there's so many other videos I can watch. My watch list is huge already. And so I end up just not watching it, which is sad because he makes really good videos.
But it is, I do the same thing with movies now. I find it hard to commit 2 hours to anything. I don't know if
fucking 2 hour movie. Stop it.
Stop it. Remember hour and 10, hour and 20 minute long movies? And it was like just the right amount of time, just a little bit more than an hour or an hour and a half if you have a lot of story to tell. Just wrap it up.
Hit to the point.
Yeah, we don't need all these love scenes. The most horrible thing in movies is when people slowly start taking their clothes off, kissing, and we need 7 different camera angles. Is that like, we get it. Just like slowly fade away and then like pan the camera to a candle on the bedside and we know what's going to happen for the next 3 minutes. We don't need to see it in gory
detail. So you just need to put it, you need a comment section on movies where you can say, movie starts at 1922 or something.
You know? That'd be very handy. Someone could just go through and annotate all the interesting parts so I can watch it. It's like a Cole's Notes version of a movie. You can just watch
that. Used to annoy me so much when people would do that on my videos. They'd say actual video starts at, because I would have some sort of an intro or something and I would talk. And then, you know what would bug me? And I still get some of these comments, and people would leave a comment about one of the videos I was making during my lockdown woodworking series about like, why do you wait so long to get to the information, or where's the, and I was like, well, this isn't about that. You weren't watching during this period of time. It was just a daily thing. It was just like this grind of videos and this kind of an ongoing conversation. And they just jumped into a single video in the middle of that series where I was halfway through a project and I was talking about something else. And
you're not a part of this community. I don't understand us over here. So you're not following along.
So like, there's this, I told you about this controversy. I won't get into it here, but there was this controversy going on in the woodworking community right now.
Oh, yes.
Make but it's like, drama. Every community on YouTube loves to have some sort of a drama. You know, there's drama. So you can take sides. Well, this is the internet, right? This is the internet. You've got to have this side or that side. Yes. And right now there's this guy who said some things that he probably shouldn't have said. It was kind of nasty. And this other guy took offense to it. And now the guy who posted it, he's like the, you know, a vessel of hate. So everybody can just like pour all of their hate on this guy.
Yes, on him.
But then he's got his own camp of people who are like, yeah, this is, and it's so ridiculous. This is a topic about finishing products.
Yes.
For wood. Okay. So I invited both of these guys to be on my podcast because I thought, well, this would be fun. I got to have both of these guys duke it out, you know, on here. They turned me down. So they don't really want to engage with each other than just like through Instagram or however.
Or they just don't like you. Have you considered
that? And then that could be very much that they know this guy.
You consider they just don't like Steve Ramsey. So you go find content somewhere else. You go start your own drama. Have you ever thought about starting your own drama?
Yeah, really.
Fire something up with Matthias.
Yeah. Well, I've been involved in the dramas before too. And I did the same thing. It's like early on, there was this this old timey magazine, Fine Woodworking. It's still around, but it's very like snooty woodworking.
Oh.
Like this is, we're the proper way. And they had this video or podcast. I don't remember what it was, years ago. This was probably 2010. And the guy was like really upset with YouTubers because I remember him saying, because none of this information is properly vetted. Anybody can post a video. And of course, you know, I grabbed my pitchfork and torch and I rallied this thing and people gathered around me. And it was like, and then after a while, people started being like, those things don't last very long because people are on board with like, yeah, we got good guys, bad guys. But then it just dies down really quick.
It just gets boring, doesn't it?
And if you keep at it, then you're like, oh, you're just piling on. Just get over it already. And I think that's what's going to happen with this situation. But I know if I got these two guys together to talk, when you actually talk to somebody you're mm-hmm. having a beef with, you will get along. It almost always happens. When you're actually confronted with that person, you will find common ground. And I'm sure that would happen. The guy would probably say, yeah, I probably went a little overboard on this one comment I made. Mm-hmm. And the other guy was like, yeah, I probably shouldn't have done all of this, but that ain't gonna happen. This is the internet.
Well, thankfully, you're here trying to stoke the flames of this drama. You are the Keemstar of the
woodworking community. Well, I did have another debate though about epoxy, but these two guys were pretty friendly about it. And it wasn't like a serious "I hate you" kind of debate. But that was a fun one to have.
That's a sensitive topic, isn't it? Epoxy.
It is. Isn't it funny though? Every little genre of YouTube has its own drama. I'm sure if there were enough knitters, Arne and Carlos would be embroiled in some sort of a drama.
Oh, it's very true. We should get them back on and we should try to start some drama with them. It has been so nice to do this podcast again. This is kind of like coming back to a warm blanket. It was so awesome to go through the weeks of not recording anything and not releasing anything, but seeing every single day a few more people kind of discover our podcast and whatnot, and to the few people who have reached out. I know that we spent many episodes being like, hey, email us and tell us what you think. And whenever we asked people to email, they never did. And then when we were like, okay, let's stop asking people to email, and that's when people start reaching out. So we would love to hear from you. Thanks for listening, everyone.